Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at scarsvoip.com. Your net control actually are several this evening, so I won't name them all, but I know KY6B will probably be beginning this evening. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening it up this evening. I'm located in the beautiful city of Port St. Lucie, Florida. It's currently a temperature of 81, high today of about 84, and a very beautiful, beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, I ask you to come aboard. Prior to starting, since I did not hear any emergency traffic, I want to ask if there's any birthday stations out there, anniversary stations, anyone that wants to come aboard so we can say happy to them. Any birthday stations, anniversary stations, come aboard, please. All right. Hearing no birthday stations, hearing no emergency traffic, this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise you, anyone connected to this evening and has talked, it is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you'll most definitely be part of that recording. So our program this evening, once again, is entitled Digital Roundtable Part 2. They're going to discuss DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and P25. And I know there's quite a group out there, but let me throw it over to KY6B so he can begin the program this evening. Everyone have a great deal of fun, and I'll be there in the background listening. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, the gavel's all yours.
Well, thank you, pretty lady. And hi, guys and gals. Gordon here, KY6B. Welcome to part two of the discussion here tonight, DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and P25, as Kathy already announced. And for those who have missed part one, the recording is available on our website in the podcast area, should you like to take a peek at that later, if you haven't already. Part one introduced the four different protocols, discussed the difference between each, who was the original designing organization, which manufacturers are involved in their market availability. And in addition, Part 1 covered the registration steps necessary, the ease of programmability, the difference in reflector operations, and different accessories that support these modes. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. So, tonight's Part 2 presentation will be covering flexibility of these different programs, survivability, you know, how strong are they when the party gets rough, extendability, field programmable ability. How easy can you jerk this guy around to do what you want to do? And of course, we want to talk about user ID awareness, because there are some differences between the different modes. Before we get started, allow me to introduce our roundtable panel. and also see who would like to check in from the audience to get the show rolling. I see Robert Loud and Proud down there, down under. Robert, would you like to say good evening and how are you, sir? And thanks for being with us. VK2DY from KY6B.
KY6B, this is VK2DY. Yes, good morning, Robert. Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, in Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, Metropolitan Sydney. Quiet day today. I always forget these Good Friday days when everything is closed. But there's not even cars on the road. It's sort of funny. Anyway, beautiful day down here. About 20 degrees Celsius, 68 Fahrenheit. And we'll get a nice warm autumn day. Anyway, that's me, VK2DY. Back to Nat.
Fantastic. Thanks, Robert. Well, you know, our Good Friday starts tomorrow. Kathy's already smiling because she gets the day off from school. So I think everything's going to come up sunshine and lollipops. At least we hope so. I'm going to call on Roger here, but I'm not expecting him to reply. He let me know last night he may be running a little late to join us. He had some things going on with the business that he's with that was going to occupy him a little longer than normal. But let me give it a shot. W4RFJ, are you on the road yet, sir? And would you like to say good evening? Over. Okay, sort of hard to tell because he's got his node connected, but it has been connected most of the day, so it's probably the one at the house that he leaves on quite frequently. KB9RRN, I don't know if you're under cover of the dash L or you're hiding someplace else, but are you with us, Dennis? And good evening if you are. Over. Okay. Well, we're going to have two. They're going to be dragging their heels a little bit on the round table here. Panel, a portion of the round table. Dennis is in law enforcement. You never know that you can't always pick your time to be where you want to be when you want to be there. But I know that Mr. Wisconsin's on board. David, good evening. EWG, how's everything up there in the north that is finally starting to warm up, I think? Over.
Well, good evening, mein Kapitän, and everybody else on South Cars. KB9EWG, Echo 2289 is my South Cars number, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Currently it's 48 degrees, 60% humidity, and 15 miles per hour winds, so it's a little bit on the cool and damp side today, so I've got a big pot of homemade chili simmering in the kitchen right now. And on board and ready to go this evening, so good evening, and KB9EWG back to you.
Oh, that's great. Boy, that chili sounds good, too. Did the snow all dissipate? Is it gone up there, or do you still have some lingering, David?
It's pretty much gone. There are some spots. You'll see a little pile here or there from a more recent sleet storm we had recently. So, and that was a pretty heavy sleet storm. So there's a couple lingering piles. That stuff seems to take longer to melt than snow does. So there's a couple little bitty piles around, but pretty much gone otherwise. So, and things are going well otherwise here. So, and yeah, the chili does is smelling good too here. Also smelling like homemade chili. So KB9EWG back to you.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite dishes, particularly Kathy's, who's an excellent cook to start with, chef I should really say, I think, and she makes some outstanding chili. Okay, very good, David. And I heard about the snow from the gang up in northern Michigan, that they were a little surprised this last dump that they got. They thought the party was over, but they were wrong. But things are obviously looking up. Okay, before we start into the questions we want to talk about here this evening, let's see if we've got anybody in the audience that would like to say hello. Tell us you're there, and then we'll go on with the show. If so, check in now, please. Over.
Victor Hotel.
Hi. N4OOJ, Tom.
Okay, we'll take two in there. Steve and Tom. Steve, good evening. You always surprise me, you know. I don't know if you're hiding under 27404 or not. If I put the one of the other computers on the right program, I could probably tell. But I'm happy to have you, Steve. How's everything in Louisiana? Over.
Well, good evening, Gordon, and good evening to everyone on the net tonight. Well, we had some weather today. Maybe you'll see some of it tomorrow. But we're looking forward to tomorrow. It's Good Friday, and one of the things that's done all over this area is a crawfish boil. So with some friends, we're going to be doing in excess of 250 pounds of boiled crawfish. So it should be a good time. And looking forward to tonight's TIN. Back to you, Gordon, KF5VH.
Yeah, well, you just jump in anytime you'd like to contribute or, circulate the water a little bit. Because it's a subject, obviously, dear to all of our hearts, I think. Thank you very much, Steve. And 250 pounds, my goodness gracious. Tom. Ridgeville, South Carolina, is it? Good evening, sir, and go ahead.
Good evening, Gordon and the group. Ridgeville is outside Charleston, and it's 75 right here now, 75 Fahrenheit. It was 85 today, and the wind is picking up. I think I'm going to get probably some severe weather or so tonight or tomorrow. There's a big front coming in. So I'd like to learn about DMR, D-Star. I used to play around with Packet Radio and Poor Man's Packet, and I had a lot of fun with that. So it's time to update to the new stuff. So it sounds like an interesting session tonight. Back to you.
Oh, that's great, Tom. I'm an old packet racket guy. Got very, very involved with it in networking systems throughout the state of Florida, particularly. The digital just stays with you. It just gets broader and deeper. So join us, Tom. Tom, have you had a chance to listen to the podcast on part one? If you're just getting into it, it's got some pretty good information in it. Over.
Negative. No, I have not. And I'd like to get the URL for that. And I'd like to check that out.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you are familiar with our website, but I hope so. And our website is scarsvoip.com. That's scarsvoip, one word, .com. And right on the home page, when you open up the site, at the top of the centerfold is a promotional advertisement in there for the net that you're listening to right now. And within that promotional is a URL that all you have to do is click on it, and it will take you to the page that covers the podcast of part one. Over.
Okay, noted. Thank you, Gordon. I will check that out.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Okay, guys and gals, let's get the party started here officially. The first subject we're going to talk about tonight is flexibility in these modes. And that's meaning what you can or cannot do on the different nodes. An example would be the DMR repeater owner, and I underscore repeater. The DMR repeater owner is the one who picks what contacts you can use, such as specific talk groups and so on and so forth. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but maybe we're going to find that out tonight. Robert, I'm going to start with you. DK2DY. Mr. Australia from KY6V.
Yeah, KY6V is DK2DY returning. Sorry, I had almost lost my phone. Trouble with Bluetooth headsets. I can leave the phone laying in different places. Yeah, I think that is the issue with DMR. I know we're down here, almost every repeater is on the DMR MARC network, which means we have no access from the repeaters to any other talk groups except the ones that are selected. They're all standard here. So any DMR repeater you go on to in Australia will have the exact same talk groups on the exact same time slots. You will know what that repeater has. That's sort of an advantage in a way because everybody knows. But it's also a disadvantage. I don't have any access to Grandmeister activity talk groups. I don't have access to anything other than what the repeater owner or indeed what all of the repeater owners together have agreed upon as the standard set. So that is a major disadvantage to my mind, with DMR. It makes it easier in a way to program the radio, but it makes it more difficult and confusing to people, I think. Let me reset for a sec. The other modes are much more open. They allow you to connect to whatever you really want to connect to, and I like that. I think, you know, there's a difference, and you know, understanding that the DMR was created as a commercial product. As I've read, you don't want bus drivers changing the frequencies of the radio. You want to keep everything standard and locked down, and I think that's a lot of what DMR is. But you know, D-Star, you can, and Wires X, you can pretty much connect to anything you want to connect to. So, you know, I definitely would, I guess that's about all I have to say. DK2DY, back to group.
Well, very good. Thank you, Robert. KY6V here for the TIN with South Cars. A couple of questions to follow to your last. If the DMR situation is a person is using a hotspot or a dongle or something like that, and he's communicating directly into the internet and not through a repeater, he then has the flexibility to move around. Is that correct? Over.
Yeah, VK2DY, that's what I was going to say. Exactly it. If you have a hotspot, you can do anything you want. And that's why I think the majority of DMR users are hotspot users. I go into, I check into DMR Net. I've got a repeater, about 12 kilometers away. But I use my hotspot to check into the into the DMR nets here in Australia, because they've linked them to DMR Plus, and so I can get to them through my hotspot. So yes, that very much overcomes any of the problems that you might have with what the repeater owners do. VK2DY.
Well, that makes me feel better already, Robert. Thank you for that. Not to go too far afield on the question that we're really started off with here, but while we have the opportunity, when a person first registers into the system, let's talk DMR here for starters, anyway. Do they have to indicate a local repeater that they're going to register with during that registration? Or if you're coming in on a your own hotspot or dongle or whatever other than the repeater itself, is any of that registration with repeaters necessary at that point? Does that make sense? Over.
Yeah, VK2DY. You do definitely have to register and get an ID for DMR. And you don't have to, as far as I understand, you don't have to specify a local repeater for DMR. For D-Star, you do specify a local repeater. I actually specified there was none near my house. I think I specified one up in Queensland or something. Anyway, they require you to specify a repeater for that. I don't know why. I don't understand the reasoning behind it, but they do. Both registration processes are pretty quick. They turn around at worst, I think. So once you do the registration, you have access to all the networks. VK2D.
Yeah, well, maybe a little later in the program we have a chance to discuss this further. I'd like to kick around the necessity of the repeater being in the registration, and maybe how they want to use it, whether it's used that way or not, I don't know. But we'll get into those particulars. Okay, I'm hoping to see a note in the text box from Roger when he has surfaced and becomes available, so I'm not going to call on Roger during this period because I don't know when he's going to be joining us. Also, I would like to have that happen with Dennis also, unless you're there now and you can feel that last question that we're talking about. So let me give it a try. KB9RRN, Mr. Indiana from KY6V, over. Okay, well, you know, I guess he probably didn't hear my last request. Hey, when you get there, Dennis, put it in the text box, but that's all right. We'll play it by ear. All right, how about you, David? You got any comments on this flexibility or razzmatazz, and maybe anything you ran into registration at the same time since we discussed it? KY6V, go ahead, David.
Well, I have registered with both DMR and D-Star. The only real experience I've got with D-Star is using an app called Peanut, and I've got it both on the PC and on my phone. So it's probably a lot like using Echolink, only actually on D-Star. It doesn't seem to have all the nodes available that an actual D-Star radio and a hotspot would have. But it is a way to get on D-Star. As far as DMR goes, yeah, I do have a hotspot, so it's pretty versatile. I can go just about anywhere. And when I take off, if I'm going to go somewhere, I can take and plug my hotspot into a portable solar charged 10,000 milliamp battery pack I've got. That's USB powered. And I can tether my cell phone and take the DMR with me. Of course, that hotspot will also do D-Star, DMR, P25, it'll do System Fusion, depending on the radio I have. So, very versatile, very portable. I can take it on the fly. As far as repeaters go, there are none in my area on any of those. There's no D-Star, there's no Fusion. There's no I don't know about P25. There's none of those modes available in my area on repeaters. It's all analog here, so. My only experience with the digital modes is on my hotspot and using an app on my cell phone and PC for D-Star. KB9E, WG, back to you.
All right. Well, thank you, David. KY6V here for Southcars. Well, let me ask you this on the Peanut side of things. Using the Peanuts program with a D-Star, I assume you had to register and get a registration number. How was the requirement for a repeater call-out handled in the case? You were registering with a peanut category. Is that considered a repeater on its own, or how's that handled? Over.
Well, I had to download the app, and then I had to register with Peanut themselves, the person that or the Peanut site. I had to register with that site to get a user number on Peanut to be able to load and use the program. Then separately, I had to register for a D-Star user ID. And what I wound up doing as far as the local repeater goes, I went to the repeater directory, or went to the Wisconsin Association Repeaters website, which is our coordinator for Wisconsin here. Went to their website, found a D-Star repeater in Wisconsin, and picked that one as my local repeater, and used that for my D-Star registration. KY6D from KB9EWG.
Yeah, boy, that brings up an awful lot of questions. Well, we'll put that in the background too, and see if time permits, we can get into some of that repeater registration thing. I just don't have my arms wrapped around it with a comfortable understanding yet. I guess more questions than answers available. Okay, well, thank you on that, and we might talk about Peanuts a little later too, in case any of the guys and gals are interested in getting their feet wet via that mode, computer mode, as opposed to buying a radio and getting started in that realm. Okay, anybody out there that would like to check in at this point before we go to the next question? Any questions on this last subject matter that we were covering, or anything for the good of the order? KY6V, call now, please.
Victor Hotel.
Victor Hotel. I know that you're in the All-Star and a lot of other things. Are you getting interested by chance on some of these modes we're talking about, Steve? Go ahead, sir.
As a matter of fact, I've had C4FM or Fusion for a couple years now. Got it really for a local repeater. No one else wanted to buy a digital radio to use the repeater. So I've used an OpenSpot. The OpenSpot, this thing all circulates around the AMBE 3000 chip. So I have a Fusion radio, but Fusion and DMR use the same encoding. So an OpenSpot can take a Fusion radio in and come out on DMR. D-Star uses the chip a different way. And I've never been on D-Star until the past 2 weeks. And I also make use of the Peanut program, which has no AMBE 3000, and that's sort of the secret to it. You have to have an AMBE 3000, either yours or someone who's placed one out there for general use, to encode your audio. And then one other comment I'll make, you talked about the differences between the repeaters, the real RF repeaters, Yaesu, D-Star, DMR. The big difference, I think, is that where on Yaesu and D-Star you can have one conversation going on at a time, on DMR you can have two conversations going on at a time. Back to net, KF5VH.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. Good information. Thank you, Steve. All right, well, let's roll it on here. I see that we're 32 minutes into the hour. Lots to cover if we're going to have enough time for everything. Any other questions or comments before we go into the next subject, please? Over. Okay. KY6V, this is a TIN roundtable for April 2019, and this is the part two section on digital communication. Our next question and subject matter is entitled Survivability. And what is meant here is which mode has the best chance of surviving in a natural disaster? Which has the best built-in redundancy? In other words, in simple terms, who can you hang your hat on and depend on? Let's roll it back down to Australia. And I'm trying to think here. It's 7:34 now. So what time is it? Is it sometime getting late in the morning for you, Robert? Go ahead. Would you like to field this question to start with?
BK2DY. It is a little after 9 since we went back to Sandy time. Net ranges from 9 in the winter, in our winter, to 11 in our summer. Anyway, is when it starts. I'm not real familiar with the survivability of these nets, so maybe I'll give a pass on this question. BK2DY.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've heard a lot of... thank you, Robert. I've heard a lot of comments one way or another. Such as DMR requires to be connected into what they call a C bridge, C as in Charlie, a bridge connection. And that's unlike the fusion and D-Star repeaters. The DMR requires a central controller that's called the C bridge. And it's like a... for the lack of another word, it's like a dumb terminal, okay? That's an old-fashioned mainframe expression that displays the data and takes the input and sends it back out to the main computer for processing. So the problem, if the C bridge becomes unavailable, the repeater can only work locally, and that makes sense. Let me buy a nickel here. It can't go around the C bridge to other repeaters that are still working. So, as an example, if your repeater is connected to a C bridge in Boston, well, let's talk about that hypothetically, along with 100 other repeaters up and down the East Coast, if something happens, a natural disaster, terror action, or something accidentally cuts the cable to the data center, then 100 of the East Coast DMR repeaters just went offline as a network until they get it fixed. Okay, we're in some of these other modes, like we mentioned, are using a DNS system, very similar to what we use every day with our computers in getting around from one URL address to another. And if something fails, why, there's another route to get to where you need to go. So, let me throw it over there to, I'm not reading my text box very closely, but I saw your comments in there, Robert, and I was looking for comments from either Roger or Dennis, whether they've joined us. So, Roger or Dennis, if you guys have got your ears on, let me know in the text box, and we'll get you plugged into the fanfare here. KB9EWG, survivability. You ought to know all about that in that frozen north that you live in. Go ahead, David, over.
Well, Gordon, since, you know, all my digital modes are reliant on me either using my hotspot or my computer here or my cell phone. Everything digital-wise here is, you know, definitely reliant on internet access. So when the proverbial stuff hits the fan and things go down, you know, I'm sure I would be offline with the digital stuff. That's why, you know, I have, you know, I don't think I'll doomsday and everything. I try to get out and enjoy the hobby, but I always have backup available. I've got a full portable backpack with QRP radio, portable antennas, everything else. So I've always got backup available. But like I say, as far as survivability goes, at least in my situation, as long as the internet's up and stuff's up, I can use it. But what's the first thing to go down in a disaster? Your phones and your internet. So that's why I've always got SSB and CW and everything else available as a backup here. So and not having any repeaters near you, I can't speak a whole lot on survivability that way. I'm sure if you had a DMR or D-Star or whatever repeater, you could use it as such on the repeater in the digital modes. But I say here with having just a hotspot or my cell phone or my internet computer here for Peanut. Once the internet and phones are down, I'm pretty much down on digital. Then it's back to analog. KY6P from KB9UWG.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's my understanding, David, that looking at DMR as an example in our comments on the Seabridge, that Seabridge is appropriate whether you're on a radio going through a repeater that's connecting into the overall system or whether you're on a hotspot and going through the internet, you're still arriving at a sea bridge, which is dispersing you to the direction that you want to go. Am I correct in that assumption? Over.
Yeah, that would be the routing out. But like I say, in a disaster, when most, first thing to go down are the phone lines, and I'm sure the internet's right behind it there. So once all that stuff's down, without having a repeater, the only access I would have to the digital modes would be through the internet. Once the internet phones are down, then I'm back analog here. But I've always got the analog backup available. KY6B, KB90WG.
Yeah. Then we get down to signal flags and smoke signals. Before we really yell for help. Thank you, David. KY6V here. Before I open it up, I make a comment on Fusion that I had in my notes here. And the notes read that apparently the central control for Wires X for expanded, usage in Fusion is located in Tokyo in Japan. So if you're talking survivability, you have to sit back and think, Tokyo is a long way away from us, particularly for us guys out here on the East Coast of the United States. And a lot of things can happen or go wrong between here and there. And so if the major hub for a Fusion in Tokyo goes down, or we can't get to the hub because something else has gone down, we're really in real trouble. Okay, any comments here before we go on to extendability? That's an interesting subject also. KY6V for the TIN. Anybody like to check in at this point? Over. Okay. We got a lot of listeners, though. I'm very, very happy to see that. KY6V, we're going to talk about extendability next, and that is really which mode has the most options, such as talk groups, or station-to-station one-on-one contact availability. We already have covered a couple of areas where it was mentioned that Peanut's maybe a little bit limited on the overall availability and extendability. And depending on how you're routing through repeaters and the repeater owners, extendability is a question with DMR. But at any rate, extendability, which mode has the most options, such as talk groups or station-to-station one-on-one contact availability? Mr. Australia, VK2DY from KY6V.
Yes. Good question. I should have done a little bit of research on this. This is Robert, Mr. Kilo 2 Delta Yankee. Well, I know that you can just add talk groups. There are two types of talk groups on DMR. You have the permanent talk, so-called permanent talk groups, and then anybody can create a talk group that's a personal talk group that exists while they're online and disappears when they're offline. So there is that extensibility. I've never found a way. There probably is a way to connect direct to DMR to DMR, and I've heard that there is, but I've never experienced it, so I'm not going to say 100% that it exists. D-Star and System Fusion, how do they create their talk groups and rooms? Wow. I think I'm out of my league again. Sorry about that. Gordon, I'm going to pass on this question. VK2DY.
Okay. Well, look, while I'm thinking about it, you're breaking up a little bit, which is very unusual for you. I don't know if you're in the danger zone of the hotspot or router that you're using down there or just what. But you'll drop out, and I'll lose a word or two, and then you come right back in, and you go on for a little bit, and then bango, you're out. And this is very unusual for you, so I'll let you think about that before we come back to you here on the next round. David, do you have any comments on this extendability? I know that you're new into the DMR and D-Star area, but are you starting to get a feel as to where you can go the furthest type thing? David, over.
Well, like I say, as far as D-Star goes, they only have so many talk groups available on the app, the Peanut app. So I can choose one that's on there. But and Robert mentioned on DMR, going DMR to DMR, and that can be done by you take the person's user ID number and punch it into your radio, and you can do a private call. And doesn't matter what mode, what talk group you're in or whatever else, if somebody private calls you, you can go back and forth and communicate and not interfere on the talk group you're on there, but you can actually talk back and forth through a private call that way. And as Robert said, there are different types of talk groups out there. There's the permanent ones and the temporary ones. And there are some that would come up by Kerchunk. You got to actually Kerchunk your microphone to access the group. And once the group is up, you know, it'll stay up there for a while. And when that drops, then you got to, you know, if you want to bring it back up, you got to Kerchunk your microphone again there. So that's about the extent I've got as far as experience on talk groups with the DMR, and I'm mostly hanging out on Brandmeister groups. The group that I'm usually monitoring when I'm home is 3155, the Wisconsin talk group. If anybody wants to call me on 3155, that's where I monitor most of the time. So don't have a whole lot of experience as I said, with others, so I can't really, you know, elaborate on who has more of talk groups than, you know, one or the other, or you know, there's plenty of talk groups out there, and there's plenty of different ways to communicate. There's even what they call a parrot or a echo test out there available if you wanted to see what your radio sounds like, which is kind of a handy feature. KY6V from KV90WG.
Okay, well, thank you, David. KY6V. I'm still smiling about your comments on Kerchunk. Someday, when there's a lot more time than we have this evening, and you and I are talking, I'll tell you some story. I can tell you story after story about repeaters and the Kerchunking problems. And some of them are really quite cute that I've been involved in. But getting back to private, and Robert, you touched on this too. It's my understanding, I wish Roger was with us, but he can explain it also because he does it all the time with a friend of his. And as David mentioned, it's simply putting in the registration number for the station that you're trying to get a hold of and communicating in that respect. I want to ask you, David, before I let you loose here, you said that when this happens, the one-on-one allows you to do that. You're not tying up a talk group. You're not interfering with a reflector operation. It's strictly one-on-one. And the way that it works is the mechanics of the reflector or the mechanics of the program are routing your signal directly and not bridged or through something else like a reflector or a talk group. Am I looking at that correctly, sir? David, over.
Yeah, in a nutshell, that's kind of what's going on there. I have never actually initiated a private call, but my friend Glenn, N6GSN, has called me numerous times on private call, and I responded to him. It comes up on the radio as private call, and then gives you the name and call sign of who's calling you. I've got his information in my system, too, so it'll come up on there. It'll also come up on your hotspot, and if you got the hotspot dashboard up on your screen, it'll also come up on your screen who's calling you. So there are ways to know who's calling, and I said it will come up as a private call. I have not ever initiated a private call myself, so I'm not sure exactly how to initiate it, but I have responded to one several times there. And yes, you are not interfering or using the talk group that you were monitoring when you got the private call. It's kind of a separate call there. Even though you're still in a talk group, you know, you're not actually using that talk group. You're going direct radio to radio at that point there. Well, radio through the system back to your radio. So it's a private call. KY6D, KV90WG.
Well, that answers a lot of questions that I've been pondering here, too. Particularly for mating some of these nodes and modes into some of our current conference servers. We still need to chat, Robert, sometime when it's comfortable for you. And let me pick your brain on what your thinking is down there Australia-wise. Okay, before we go into field programmable questions, do we have anybody else at this point that would like to check in? We're 54 minutes into the hour. Any questions or just want to say hello or comments? Come now, please. Give me your suffix, if possible. Over. Okay. A lot of quiet listeners, but I'm very pleased that we've got the listeners out there this evening. All right, we're going into a field programmable area, which means really which mode radios are the easiest to field program without the use of a computer. You know, you're walking down the street in Podunk Hollow, Michigan, and you want to change the programming on your radio, and you don't have your computer with you. Can you or can't you? Or does it depend on what you got with you as a radio? VK2DY, Mr. Australia. Here's another one for you, Tiger. KY6V, over.
KY6V, this is VK2DY. I have now switched to my supposedly Samsung phone. It's actually a demo model of a Samsung phone, so it has no cellular antennas or anything inside of it. But it works fine as a Echolink phone. Anyway, let me talk to that question. I've just forgotten. Oh shoot! Oh, field programmability. Well, I think that's where Australia's system of every talk group. Every repeater having the exact same talk groups and the exact same time slots makes DMR here field programmable. I would not say it was in most of the world. I think that may be one of the reasons why they standardized everything across the country here and made it that way. Otherwise, the config file, also known as a code plug, is better done on a computer, far better done on a computer. But then again, if you have a hotspot, you don't even have to mess with any of that. So you know, it depends if you're talking about a hotspot or not. If you have a hotspot, you just set the talk group and you're done and you're talking and you don't have to worry about it. So strictly a radio problem. With D-Star, yeah, you can do everything on the fly. D-Star is very easy to set on the fly. I wouldn't have any problem with that. And C4FM also is okay to set up on the fly. So it's only DMR. And I think, again, it's getting back to the commercial origins of a DMR and the fact that it was actually set up as a foolproof system to communicate among non-amateur radio folks, that it doesn't have the flexibility that the other systems do. VK2DY, back to Ness.
Yeah, very good. Well, you know, that was an interesting comment about that you just made relative to, well, if you're using a hotspot, you don't have to worry about all that, which I guess is very true. Does that statement also, I would suspect, encompass the using of a dongle instead of a hotspot? If you have a dongle that gives you the multiple modes and so on and so forth, is the programmable ability fairly decent? Over.
Yeah, well, my favorite way of communicating at the moment is using this Samsung Galaxy Note 9 that lacks any cellular equipment, antennas and the like. And I just use that, and I use BlueDV Ambi, and I plug the ThumbDV drive directly into the USB-C on the Samsung Note, and then I just have a push button, basically. I mean, everything is very much automatic and easy to be done. VK2DY.
Okay. I'm sorry to be so full of questions here, but on the BlueDV Ambi, is that single mode or is it multiple mode? Does it handle everything we're talking about? Over.
Well, the problem is the VK2DY. The problem is that the problem is that
the fellow that's working on BlueDV, Ambi, is also working on Peanut, is also working on half a dozen other projects. So he's got a bunch of projects that are all working, that he's working on at the same time. So he can't devote, and that's all volunteer time, so he can't devote enough time to get these things developed. So basically, my BlueDV Ambi only works at the moment on D-Star and DMR. The Fusion part, he wants to get working, but he also wants to get some enhancements to Peanut, and so he goes back and forth between the two projects. Anyway, long answer. Sorry, VK2D.
Okay. Well, that's interesting information. Thank you, Robert. Is this guy that's bebopping between the boxes down in South America? Because I thought that's where the designer of Peanuts was. Over.
The fellow's in the Netherlands. I can't think of his name offhand, but he's in the Netherlands. VK2DY.
Okay. Got you covered. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, any questions from the audience, please? Please call KY6V. Over.
Tom, N40J. Boy, I have a lot of questions, but I can't really ask any intelligent questions. There's so much information. It sounds like I can get on a DMR D-Star with that dongle and my Android phone. But I guess the only question I have to do is I have to find out if there's any kind of a D-Star DMR repeater in my area in Charleston. And I just wonder if there's any kind of dongle for a Yaesu analog phone or analog radio that would allow me to do a D-Star DMR with a Yaesu analog phone, radio. That's my question. N40J, over.
Okay, I need to ask you a couple of questions to understand your question, Tom, if you don't mind, sir. When you say analog phone, are you talking the normal house phone as opposed to the cell phone apparatuses that are out today? When you differentiate between digital and analog, over.
Well, I'm talking about just a cell phone with a dongle. I could probably get on D-Star DMR with my Samsung cell phone. But my question is there a dongle or something for a Yaesu 2-meter radio? Anything to, allow a Yaesu 2-meter analog radio to get into a local repeater. Does that make sense? Over.
Yeah, it does. And stick around, Robert. I want you to throw your hat in this this question also, if you would, down under. First of all, the dongle does away with any radio needs if you have a computer to plug the dongle in. The dongle goes into your USB port, Tom. You utilize the microphone that's available for your computer, the sound card that's available for your computer, and the dongle does a transferring of the protocol necessary to make everything come out in English and in an analog fashion so you can hear it. So with that said, you can take an analog radio and connect it to your computer, okay, so that the audio that is developed by the computer can either receive the incoming audio and turn it to digital, or it can transmit analog audio that has been converted from digital to your analog transmitter. In the EchoLink business that we're on right now, that's called normally a linking system. Let me buy a nickel here. Before I get you confused completely, let me get some input from Robert. VK2DY, do you want to amplify on that, Robert? KY6V, over.
Sorry, once again, Bluetooth, I was far away from my phone. VK2DY, yeah, you know, you could. The whole question is all the digital modes are all in that one codec, that Andy codec. And once you make the analog to digital conversion, yeah, you could use an analog video. Or you could simply just use your phone for D-Star and DMR. As I said, I use a Thumb DV plugged into my phone's USB-C port, and it's beautiful on DMR and D-Star, VK2DY.
All right, thanks. A little breakup on that. I don't know if you went back to the original phone or not, Robert, but we got most of it. Okay, Tom, if we got you totally confused, go ahead, sir.
10-4. it sounds like there's a way to do it, but I may have to go down this rabbit hole. But at least I have a lot of... A lot of the terminology and buzzwords that make a lot more sense than it all did before this session. So so I think I'm good for now. I'm kind of like on overload right now. So back to the group, Gordon, N40OJ.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a lot to gather together all at one setting. Let me explain in maybe a little different manner something that would point you in a direction to think about. First, in order to get into the modes that we're talking here tonight, and we'll use DMR and D-Star as an example for starters. There are a number of ways. You buy a radio that is designed to talk that digital language. You have a local repeater, hopefully, that talks that local language, and you're off and running. The other route is to buy a dongle that plugs into your computer, not buy a radio at all. Let me buy a nickel, talking about buying things, just to reset the timers here. So you plug a dongle into the computer, and you can talk around the world on DMR and D-Star and Fusion and so on without a radio, okay? Obviously, you're using the microphone, the speakers, and the sound cards, and so on and so forth, and the computer, besides the dongle's conversion apparatus. Now, with all of that said, so that's how you can get started one way or another. One more nickel here I'm going to buy. The other approach, and getting into what you were saying about an analog radio, let's forget about digital right now for this point of conversation. EchoLink that you are currently on gives you the means to be able to cable your computer to your radio. And I don't care what analog radio it is, it can be cabled to it. So the receive audio that's coming in on that radio transceiver goes into your EchoLink program and automatically, because of the Vox circuits and what have you, transmits it out to the rest of the world digitally, okay? And then, of course, it is de-digitized, if I can put it that way, on the receiving end's computer, and it comes out normal audio in your headset or speaker. So, what I'm saying is your comment about analog is totally feasible, even in the modes that we're talking right now. And to get established, you have several avenues that you need to choose which way you want to start with. Does that make sense, Tom? Over.
Yes, I understand the first two options, but what I'm wondering is there any kind of a dongle or so that could take my Yaesu analog 2-meter radio, convert it to digital, send it to a local digital DMR D-Star repeater, and tap into the repeater on digital, analog radio to digital, into a digital D-Star DMR local repeater. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Over.
VH.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a man to answer that, too. I'm going to come right out and say, yes, there is a way to do that, Tom. And Steve can tell you how, too. go ahead, Steve, Mr. Louisiana, KY6V, over.
Thank you, Gordon. The way you get an analog radio over to these other modes is through a system that someone has put together. I do this through a place called the Alabama Link. So I can use an FM radio. I talk to my All-Star repeater, and my All-Star repeater is tied into the Alabama Link on a IAX connection. But the folks in Alabama have taken and cross-connected the audio to DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and everything that you say. Anyone connected into that cluster will hear everything from every other mode. So that's how you go about that. KF5. Oh, I'll mention one other thing. Gordon, you were talking about how do you handle things if you don't have a computer with you? If the device you're trying to talk to has a web server on it, don't forget your phone is a very powerful computer. I take and use my phone to reprogram my OpenSpot. KY6V in the group, KF5VH.
Yeah, I was really, okay. I'm with you on the cell phone. I was really thinking you got a handheld, you don't have a cell phone. You know, and it's manufactured by X company, and it only squawks one mode, be it DMR, D-Star, or Fusion, or whatever. How easy is it to play, to program, et cetera, et cetera. Well, okay. Tom, I'd be very happy to talk with you off the net type situation anytime, and I know that all of these other guys would be very happy to join in for any thoughts in helping you get started. And I hope that the information that we parted here to you tonight will at least get you thinking, hopefully in the right direction, Tom. Over.
Oh, yes, everyone's been very helpful, and I just have all the terminology down, and so yeah, I'm going to have to look around for a local Alabama net, though I know there's not Alabama net here. I mean, like a South Carolina link or something like that here, and see what I could turn up. So, I can investigate the first two options also. So, yeah, I've got a lot to work on now, and It's everyone's really helped out a lot. So I'll maybe check in on another net maybe next week or so, and maybe find out some more. So this is enough for me for tonight. So N4OJ, over.
Okay, Tom. Well, it's certainly our pleasure to have you aboard there, Mr. South Carolina, and hope that we'll be chatting many, many times here in the future. Okay, this is KY6V. This is South Cars. This is the TIN RAGCHU Digital Roundtable for the month of April. We've now been going about an hour and 17 minutes. Any other comments before we get into some other matters here and try to wrap it up? KY6V, call now if anybody's interested.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Jawohl, mein Herr. Echo Whiskey Golf. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, talking about programmability, it is possible to program through the keypad some stuff. You got to bear in mind, like, my radio is both VHF and UHF, analog and digital. It'll do all that in the radio. There are 3,000 channels, if you want to talk channels, and 100,000 contacts that can be programmed into that radio. Now, programming analog repeaters fairly easily to program into the keypad. But when you're talking programming your digital stuff, you're talking, you know, the group number or the number of the node that you're going to be trying to talk to, the color code, the time slot. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there you got to know and be able to punch that all into there. It's possible, but is it practical? So code plugs, you know, it's definitely something, you know, you got to, it's a lot easier through the computer when you consider everything that is involved with programming the digital information into that radio. Like I said, there are 3,000 channels and 100,000 contacts that radio will store. KY6V from KB90WG.
Well, you know, David, that's a task I'm not sure that I would want to take on. Not at my age. Programming 3,000. Is there a shortcut to that? I mean, is there a way that you can take a listing, let's say off the internet, copy and paste that into the program that's used for setting up the information for the radio unit, and then let that program just send it all in bulk? Or do you have to do it one-on-one, old-fashioned, over?
Yeah, you can take whatever code plug editor I'm talking my DMR radio now. So I'm talking with the DMR stuff. I don't know anything about the Fusion or the D-Star or any of that stuff there as far as programming radios. But I'm talking on the DMR side. You can take the code plug editor you are using, and you can import lists, the contact lists, and the group talk group listings and everything else. You can import all that into your code plug editor, and you can do that, yes. Now, bear in mind, my radio will hold 100,000 contacts, but last I heard, it was like 150,000 contacts out there, and that list is constantly growing. So you got to kind of pick and choose what contacts you want to add to the radio also. You can add it by country and so on and so forth. So at the maximum 100,000 contacts, and there's like 150,000, 160,000 contacts out there. You can't add them all, but you can get pretty close to it. And yes, you can import and export lists and things like that into your code plug editor. One other thing, let me buy a nickel here. far as like we were talking about with before with ker-chunking, you'll find sometimes ker-chunking is necessary on some of this stuff. I keep my radio communicates to my hotspot on 432 megahertz. Well, I'm not going to give the exact frequency, but it's in a 432 megahertz region, and it uses the same frequency on everything I'm talking on. But it communicates everything digitally through the hotspot there. And when you change talk groups on the radio, and your hotspot needs to know where you're at to listen. When you change a talk group on the radio, you got to chunk the radio, so the hotspot knows where you're at and sets itself to where you're at, so you can monitor that hotspot you're on there or that talk group you're on. Like I said, I typically monitor talk group 3155, the Wisconsin talk group, and when I'm on one talk group and I switch back to Wisconsin, you know, I got to chunk to let the hotspot know I am back on Wisconsin and monitoring there. KY6V from KV9 EWG.
All right, thanks, David. KY6V here. Well, you know the picking out of this 150,000 or whatever you're talking about. I'm sort of looking at that akin to your Echolink program, where you establish a favorites folder or a alarms folder of those people that you talk to on a regular basis, as opposed to the 450,000 of other Echolink users around the world. Does that make sense in what I'm thinking? Over.
Yeah, like I said, there are places you can go on the web and find lists of all the registered users on DMR, and you can import what you want to on of those lists. And like I said, you can go by country, you know, if you want to, just like US, UK, whatever, you can import those into there. Now, it doesn't mean that if, you know, you got this list in there and let's say you don't have Mexico in there, but somebody from Mexico comes up on your spot or on the talk group you're on, you can still talk to them. You just won't see their ID information just won't pop up on your screen. You know, that's where the user information comes in handy. You know, like my friend M6GSN, I've got him in my radio, and when he comes up, his call sign and name and everything else pops up on my screen that he's communicating at that point there. Instead of just seeing a user number. KY6B from KV9EWG. It's like a caller ID almost.
Well, that was an interesting comment. Okay. Thank you, David. If I'm understanding you correctly, what you're saying is that a person that calls you doesn't have to be in your code pad. And you will and can accept the call. You just don't get a lot of data along with it. Is that right?
Yeah, like when Glenn and I are talking, you know, M6GSN, on the display on my radio, it'll say his call sign and his name. Whereas if I'm talking to a repeater or if I'm talking to a user that's not in my list, I'll just see their number on the radio. But I can look into my PiStar dashboard on the computer, or actually look on the screen on my hotspot. There's a little LED display on my hotspot, and their number and their call sign will pop up on there or on the dashboard. It just won't necessarily pop up on my radio display. KY6B from KB9EWG.
Okay, I got you. When you say their call sign and their number, is that the registration number you're talking about?
Yeah, your DMR user number, and you can actually have more than one user number. Like, say you got a repeater and your radio, and you might have one, you know, for your hotspot. I just have one number. I use, you know, because I just got the radio and a hotspot, so I just had the one DMR number. But it is possible, just like on Echolink, it's possible to have more than one number. KY6B from KV19WQ.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, David. Well, guys and gals, and all those ships out at sea, we're 27 into the second hour, 27 minutes into the second hour, and we're just about ready to fold here. Do we have any other additional comments or questions for the group? Please call KY6V. Over. Okay, hearing nada. We're going to close it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciated all the participation this evening. And a big thank you to the board. I'm sorry that we missed both Roger and Dennis this evening. Two very talented people, but, you know, business is business, and that's the way that it should be, I think. We will try to get the podcast posted in the morning from tonight's session. It'll be on our website just following, and it'll go in as part two, just following part one. So you'll have both to reference in the future should you care to do so, or there's some specifics that you would like to look over a second time. So with that, we're going to return the South Car server back to normal use and abuse. Wish everybody a good evening and a great weekend coming up. We've got a lot of good nets starting on Saturday, so look us up if you have time. We'd love to have you. And this is KY6V down here in South Florida saying bye-bye for now and God bless.